Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this 15th Sunday in Ordinary Time. I'm Barbara Little, here with Father James Stembler, and today we will hear and discuss the Gospel from St. Mark. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
Catholic Charities at 615 Oliver Court in Corpus Christi remains in need of daily volunteers to assist with operations Monday through Thursdays, and at least 3 volunteers are needed right away. Duties include filling out forms for clients, answering telephone calls, stocking the pantry, and client interaction. In times like these, we can all help a little here and a little there, and it all adds up to helping others. If you can only help one or two days a week, remember, every little bit helps. Giving and doing for others always makes us feel better. For more information, call Joanne Buchanan at 361-884-0651. Learn more at catholiccharities-cc.org.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Welcome back, Father Stembler. It's wonderful to have you here.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
Thank you. I know you're here because Bishop Mulvey is taking some well-deserved time off.
That's right.
Our gospel this morning is from St. Mark, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus summoned the 12 and began to send them out 2 by 2 and gave them authority over unclean spirits. He instructed them to take nothing for the journey but a walking stick, no food, no sack, no money in their belts. They were, however, to wear sandals but not a second tunic. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave. Whatever place does not welcome you or listen to you, leave there and shake the dust off your feet in testimony against them." So they went off and preached repentance. The 12 drove out many demons, and they anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Father Stembler, of course, you remember last week when Jesus was in his native land and the people there, as you so nicely phrased it, remembered him from way back then, and they were not looking at him as he was then. But so he has moved on, and this hasn't stopped his teaching. He's sending out the 12.
Right. Uh-huh. That's mission. It's all about mission. We're on a mission, so it's about time they experienced what that truly means. And the best way to experience anything is to just go right into it. What was it when I was learning how to swim many moons ago? When I was learning how to swim, they were teaching us how to do the stroke, and then they took us to the deep end, and we were told to jump in and just start swimming. That was the best way to learn. You just got to get right in there. So the same thing with going on mission. He sends them out. Notice he sends them out 2 by 2. You don't go by yourself. You go with someone else. And the other person is a help the people are help to each other because they make sure that they're following what they've been told to do. They're good reminders to each other.
And they balance each other.
Mm-hmm. So it's interesting. Jesus tells them to take nothing, a walking stick to help you get someplace, sandals so you don't, get bloody feet or anything like that, but nothing else. The Word is enough. The Word of God is enough. And that's all you need when you go on mission. You know, we think about taking a suitcase and what can I fit in the suitcase and all the little creature comforts I need in a suitcase. And suitcases just seem to be getting bigger and bigger and bigger. But if for the work of mission, all you need is the Word. All you need is that, and the understanding of that Word and relying on that Word to keep you moving forward and to help you share that Word with others.
Well, and as I was preparing for this, you know, they talked about what I was reading was that exact same thing that you were talking about, you know, no sack, no money, no second garment, because this was important. You need to do it now, so don't have anything else. And it was interesting, too, I had read that it said that in this time of when this gospel was, people believed that illnesses were the result of being possessed by the demon. So at the beginning, Jesus gave them authority over unclean spirits. Yeah.
Right. I mean, we need to be there for one another and to take care of each other so that we're not plagued by unclean spirits, but we are being helped by the Holy Spirit. And so we can be a support to one another in keeping us on track and in following God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
And he says, if what place doesn't welcome you or listen to you, leave there and shake the dust off your feet in testimony against them.
I think that's a very interesting phrase. I mean, when you go, wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave. So hospitality is something that's very important. It's a very important aspect of our faith, being hospitable. You know, you cannot share the good news if you're inhospitable. Only when you are supportive of and reaching out to one another. So wherever you go, enter the house and take whatever is put before you. In the other Gospels, it's, you know, I think it even says it that way, eat whatever is put before you. And if you are not welcomed, if you are not listened to, well, leave and shake the dust off your feet. In other words, don't keep that in memory. Just get rid of it and keep moving on. Don't hold negative experiences in your heart, but just get rid of them. Shake it off. Get, you know, it's no longer a part of you, and move on. That's how I've always understood this. You know, you're not, you know, putting up a flag so that someone knows to go get these people, but by the same token, they're not going to keep their inhospitable way. Don't hold on to that. Just shake it off. Get rid of it.
I love that you said that, because I didn't interpret that at all, but that makes such sense, because if they were to hold on to it and go, oh, we're 0 for 3, we're 0 for 4, then they wouldn't want to do it anymore.
Well, that and if when we hold on to bad experiences, if we're not careful, we start mimicking and living out those bad experiences. That becomes a frame of reference for us. But the gospel is our frame of reference. God's divine revelation is our frame of reference, and nothing should interfere with that.
Mm-hmm. So the 12 went off. They talked about repentance. And it says they drove out many demons.
And of course, when they come back, they'll be amazed at what they did. But they can do it. Number one, Jesus has taught them some things. Again, we're in Mark chapter 6, so he's taught them some things. The other thing I think they're beginning to understand is that there's something to this faith that Jesus speaks about, and they're showing that trust. They're trusting in God and God's presence with them, and what can happen when I put my trust in He who created us and who is calling us to move forward. Look what can happen. I think, you know, I think the 12 are beginning to understand that, you know, they can do it. They can do it. It may not always be easy, but they can do it.
And they had trust enough, they left their families and they left their jobs and everything to follow Jesus.
Right.
So they knew that there was a purpose for them.
That's right. That's right.
So they anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. That must have been very powerful.
I mean, I can think of experiences in my own priesthood where you've helped someone. You didn't know that it was going to help them or whatever the situation might be. But when, you know, when you are able to do that and you see the results of it, it has a very wonderful effect on you, I think. The biggest thing you have to make sure is that you don't go into a power struggle with it and, oh, look at the power I have. No, that's not what
keep
it's about.
Keep your humility.
Yeah, you have to keep your humility in mind. But no, it's amazing. I can remember back to my CPE days when I was a seminarian. I would visit this woman who was in the medical renal ICU unit. This was in Parkland Hospital in Dallas. And I went and talked with her. She couldn't speak. And, you know, I went and talked with her every day. And I didn't know how much help that was doing, didn't know what kind of effect I was having. And then one day I went up and she wasn't there, and the nurse told me that she, you know, was taken away, and but she had left a note, and the note just said, "Thanks for coming to visit me every day," and so forth. And I was just amazed at that. But it just goes to show you that, you know, just reaching out to someone, even in a small way, can have a very powerful effect, not only on the person, but on both. Yeah.
That you're making a difference.
Right.
That you're doing what God wants
you
to do.
Well, you're doing what God wants you to do, and that it's not only, the help is not only going one way, but it's mutual.
Mm-hmm. Do you think about that woman often?
I do think of her from time to time, yeah, mm-hmm. because it was a wonderful teaching moment.
Uh-huh, as a seminarian, that you could carry with you to
as a human being, it was a wonderful teaching moment.
Right, very true. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will continue our conversation. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
The call to the priesthood or consecrated life comes from God. When an individual hears that call or suspects that it's a call from God, two questions arise. One is, how do I respond? That part is not complicated. If indeed it is a call from God, then He wants an answer in the affirmative. The other question is it really a call from God? Usually help is needed in discerning the next step. The Diocese of Corpus Christi Office of Vocations is offering two discernment retreats entitled Explore. The first is July 8 and 9 at St. Joseph Catholic Church on South Reynolds Street in Ellis. The following week, July 15 and 16, a second retreat will be held in Corpus Christi at St. Pius X Catholic Church on Galahar Road. All recent male high school graduates and those enrolling in high school are invited to explore and discern their vocation in life. For more complete information, call the Vocations Office, 361-693-6655. To register now, visit ccpriest.org/explore-retreat.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, before the break, Father, we were talking about how the 12 went out, you know, two by two, so that there were two of them, and they were spreading the word. And we talked also about how I love the way you phrase this. If people were not wanting to hear what they had to say, dust it off. Don't hold it in. Just continue to move on so that you're not thinking of those negative thoughts.
Don't hold the bad experiences in your heart, in your mind. Don't enshrine those bad experiences. Don't light vigil lamps to keep those bad experiences in your mind and in your heart. You need to just shake them away. Mm-hmm. This passage, you know, it raises an important question, I think, for all of us. How do we extend Jesus' ministry in the world? Maybe in a formal sense, we are not going out two by two. But in essence, from the baptismal font, wherever that font may be, we're called to share the good news. We're called to share the message of Jesus Christ or of God through Jesus Christ. How are we doing with that assignment, if I can put it that mm-hmm. way? How are we engaging in that? How are we putting our whole heart and mind to it? Are we growing in our understanding of doing that? I think that's an important thing for us to sit back and take a reality check on, because I think from time to time, we need to take an inventory. We need to ask ourselves how we're doing, because it's good for us to get a handle on how we're doing so that we can see what it is we need to do to be able to continue that process. The whole point of the different seasons of the year, particularly seasons like Lent and Advent, are times for us to sit back and take an inventory. How am I doing here, there, and with this and with that? And how is the gospel, how do people see that gospel alive in me? You know, I tend to talk about how we're all billboards. And what does our billboard say? What, you know, does my billboard say he is a Catholic Christian? Or does my billboard say something else? I think we need to take a reality check and find out. So I think this gospel passage is an opportunity for us to take an inventory. Am I sharing the good news? And not only my words, but in how I'm living my life. I mean, how often have, you know, we heard figures in authority, whether they be parents, teachers, whoever, say, do as I say, not as I do. Why are we saying that?
Right.
Why are we saying that? I mean, what we say is what we do, what we engage in. And, you know, I think it's an important opportunity for us from time to time to really see how things are going. I mean, I think that's what a retreat is for. I think that's what in a parish, a mission is for. These types of prayer exercises, times away from normal routine, they are opportunities for us to really test the waters and see how the message of the gospel is really alive in me, or is it alive in me, or whatever the case may be. Jesus summons the 12 and sends them out. You know, gentlemen, this is it. This is what it's all about, mission. You know, go do it. And they do, and when they come back, they'll be amazed at what's been taking place. And again, I think that is a an enabler for them to see that faith is genuine and is something that is good to have and is good to build on. The message that Jesus has been teaching us is, you know, not just for us, but it's to be shared with others. When we as Catholics gather and celebrate the Eucharist, you know, it's just not that hour or whatever it is, and then off we go into the real world again. No, that's real world too. And what we learn in that period of time is something we can engage in as life continues to go on. We're on a journey, and the journey needs to be developed and needs to become more and more a part of who we are.
I was thinking as you were talking about that just recently for all of us, both with, you know, the pandemic and then, you know, the freeze that we all had in February, how helping one another, you know, people that you may not have reached out to before, neighbors, mm-hmm. you're checking. Do they need something? You're doing curbside. Do you need anything from the grocery store? I'm going. Just the little things like that, taking care of one another.
Right. I'll never forget my grandmother and my great aunt lived with us when I was younger. This was when I was in high school. And my great aunt died at home. And that was the first time someone close in the family had died. So mm-hmm. it was a whole new experience mm-hmm. for me. And one of the things that just in the beginning, it puzzled me, but all of a sudden we were getting trays of food from people, from neighbors who, I mean, you knew to say, hello, how are you? But that was about it. But we were getting all these trays of food. And so I asked my parents one night, I said, what is all of this for? And they said, well, that's just their way of being able to help. This is a difficult situation. And so this is what they feel they can do to help us be able to cope and be able to continue on. And I was just sort of bowled over by the fact that people would do something like that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that was a good lesson for me to see that, you know, we're here for one another. We're not here to get at one another. Mm-hmm. We're here to be with one another. I mean, God loves us, so here we are, His creation. And because of that love, I think the expectation of the creation is that we live in that love and share that love with each other.
Mm-hmm. So it is taking care of one another mm-hmm. and reaching out, and instead of, quote unquote, waiting to be asked, just being asking. Beautiful message. Besides that, but you're right about the journey. And you were talking about missions and different prayers that we can say. I know sometimes I'm not very good with that, and that's something that I need to work on in my journey.
Oh, prayer? Well, you know, I think, you know, we understand the importance of prayer. And so a lot of times I think, well, we go to Mass, which is community prayer, and so we're very good at that. And sometimes individual prayer there's all sorts of names you can say, centering prayer or Lectio Divina or that type of prayer. Mm-hmm. Maybe we're not so good at engaging in or being a part of, but I think through practice, just sitting quietly and being in the presence of the Creator, and that is a beautiful way of communicating with the one who has created us and helping us understand who we are being called to be. You know, what was it, Saint Benedict and his rule? The whole point of how the schedule for the day is put together, the hope was that eventually one's whole life would be a prayer, an offering to God. one's whole day-to-day life would be an offering to God. Personally, I think that's where prayer can lead us all, that every moment of our life is being offered in thanks to the Creator who has made us.
So every single thing that we would be doing would be offer God? Is that what you're saying?
Who we are is an offering to God.
Mm-hmm. That's something to really think about.
Well, there's a lot of good things in the rule of St. Benedict.
So what else do you think we can do, Father, to extend the ministry? I know we have a little bit of time left, but is there anything else that you can think of that we need to do, you know, besides prayer, being quiet and reflecting?
Just be aware of each moment that we are a part of and being aware of what's going on around us. Just being aware of the moment that we're in and everything going on in the moment, I think that's very important. We're not always aware of our surroundings. There are a lot of exercises to show this, you know, and visual things and so forth. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think if we are truly being the creation that God is calling us to be, we are aware of every moment and what is taking place in every moment and understanding God's presence in every moment and being attentive to that and helping one another.
That's wonderful. Being present.
Being present.
Something for us to really reflect on.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Father Stembler. If you could end our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray. O God, who show the light of your truth to those who go astray, so that they may return to the right path, give all who, for the faith they profess, are accounted Christians, the grace to reject whatever is contrary to the name of Christ, and to strive after all that does it honor. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit come down on you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Thank you, Father, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.